Welcome to Beyond Bitcoin, a show designed for the curious, especially those who aren't technical or steeped in finance. In this first episode, we'll unpack Bitcoin from the ground up. You'll discover who created it and why, how its identity has evolved, and the key players that keep it running, nodes and miners. We'll explore Bitcoin's built-in scarcity, the 21 million supply cap, and its unique four-year cycle that shapes its market rhythm. By the end, you'll have a clear, beginner-friendly understanding of what Bitcoin is, how it works, and why people around the world are paying attention. To understand Bitcoin, we need to start with where it began. In the beginning, Bitcoin was introduced as a form of digital money. But over time, it evolved into something more, a store of value. Similar to how gold is considered a store of value. It was launched in 2009 by a person or group of people under the name Satoshi Nakamoto. The idea was simple: create a new kind of money that's decentralized, meaning no single person, no company, no country controls it. A common misconception is that Bitcoin is a physical coin, but in reality, it's entirely digital, a kind of internet-native money. Bitcoin isn't issued by any government or central authority. There's no CEO, no Bitcoin bank. Instead, it runs on software and a global network of thousands of independent computers around the world. Think of Bitcoin like digital gold, but instead of storing it in a vault where one bank holds the key, it's stored everywhere at once, on thousands of computers. No one person can lock you out, and the whole system watches itself. We'll explore how these independent computers work together. But first, who is Satoshi Nakamoto? In October 2008, during the global financial crisis, an 8-page white paper was published online titled Bitcoin, a Peer-to-Peer Electronic Cash System. The author? Satoshi Nakamoto, a pseudonymous person or group. To this day, no one knows who they are. They coded the first version of the system, communicated through forums and emails, then gradually disappeared around 2010 or 2011. Satoshi Nakamoto's identity remains a mystery, but their impact is legendary. Their writing showed deep knowledge of cryptography, economics, and computer science. In just 8 pages, Satoshi Nakamoto laid out a blueprint for secure, trustless digital money without banks, governments, or middlemen. It might sound complex at first, but the core ideas are simple once you break them down. The beauty of Bitcoin is that, with the right explanation, anyone can understand how it works. Let's now talk about how Bitcoin has evolved. Satoshi Nakamoto's white paper described Bitcoin as a digital cash system for the internet, a way where people could directly pay each other online without needing a bank or PayPal. And at first, that's exactly how people used it. In fact, in 2010, someone famously bought 2 pizzas for 10,000 Bitcoin. At today's Bitcoin price, those pizzas would be worth over $1 billion, the most expensive pizzas in history. But as Bitcoin spread, 2 challenges became clear. It could only handle a limited number of transactions at once, and the price moved up and down so much that everyday spending became impractical. Imagine buying a cup of coffee for $3 worth of Bitcoin, and the next day, that same amount of Bitcoin jumped to $6, or dropped to just $1. That made it hard to use as everyday money. So over time, people began to see Bitcoin less as a payment tool, and more as a way to protect wealth. That's when the idea of digital gold was born. Not money you spend every day, but money you save. A scarce, durable asset designed for the digital age. So how does this digital gold actually work behind the scenes? It starts with Bitcoin's network of computers. As mentioned earlier, Bitcoin runs on a global network of thousands of independent computers. Some of these act as nodes, storing the Bitcoin blockchain and keeping the network in sync. Others act as miners, competing to add new blocks of transactions. Before we get into nodes and miners, let's talk about the blockchain itself. Every time Bitcoin is bought, sold, or sent, a digital record is created. That record is called a transaction. When enough transactions are collected, they're grouped into a block. And that block is added to a public digital ledger called the Bitcoin blockchain. The Bitcoin blockchain is a lot like a bank's ledger book, and each block is like a page of transactions in that book. The difference? Bitcoin's blockchain is public, global, and permanent. Unlike a bank's ledger, no one can alter or erase it. Each block is verified using math and software, not trust. And once added, it becomes permanent. That feature is called immutability. Copies of this blockchain, every block, every transaction, are stored on thousands of computers around the world. These computers are called nodes. Nodes talk to each other constantly to stay in sync. They don't rely on any central server. Together, this global network of nodes keeps Bitcoin secure, accurate, and always online, even if parts of the network go down. While nodes keep the Bitcoin blockchain secure and synchronized, miners have a different role. They create the new blocks that get added to the blockchain. Miners are people or companies running powerful computers, and in many ways, they work like gold miners. But instead of digging through rock and earth, Bitcoin miners are searching for digital treasure. Their job? To add new blocks of transactions to the Bitcoin blockchain. Here's how it works. Miners race to solve a complex math puzzle, like cracking a digital safe. Satoshi Nakamoto designed this puzzle so that, on average, it takes about 10 minutes to solve. That timing keeps new blocks being added to the blockchain at a steady pace, about one every 10 minutes, no matter how many miners are competing. When a miner finds the solution, they broadcast it to the network. The nodes, those independent computers we talked about earlier, check it. The puzzle is tough to solve, but easy for nodes to verify. If most nodes agree, the miner wins, the block is added to the blockchain, and the miner earns new Bitcoin. It's like striking digital gold. This process is called proof of work. It keeps Bitcoin secure, making cheating or faking transactions nearly impossible, because it would take too much computing power and too much money to try. Miners do more than just secure the blockchain. They also control how new Bitcoin enters circulation. And this is where scarcity comes in. Only 21 million Bitcoins will ever exist, a limit set by Satoshi Nakamoto's white paper and coded into Bitcoin's rules. To enforce that limit, the white paper introduced a halving every 4 years. As mentioned earlier, the miner who adds the next block to the Bitcoin blockchain earns a block reward, newly created Bitcoin. The halving cuts the block reward in half. In the beginning, in 2009, miners earned 50 Bitcoin per block. Then came the halvings. In 2012, the reward dropped to 25 Bitcoin per block. In 2016, it dropped to 12.5 Bitcoin. In 2020, to 6.25 Bitcoin. The last halving occurred in 2024, and the miners now earn 3.125 Bitcoin per block. So every 4 years, fewer new Bitcoins are created and enter circulation. This is how the 21 million Bitcoin limit is enforced. Here's why that matters. Miners earn fewer Bitcoins per block. Yet rising adoption has significantly increased Bitcoin's prices. The higher prices attract more miners, and more miners boost network security. It's a brilliant feedback loop, and it fulfills Satoshi Nakamoto's vision, a self-sustaining, decentralized system powered by market-driven scarcity. But scarcity also creates a side effect. Bitcoin's price can rise and fall dramatically. Some call this volatility risky. Others find it exciting. So why does Bitcoin's price swing so much? First, Bitcoin is young. Launched in 2009, it's a new kind of asset, and new markets tend to be volatile until they mature. Second, Bitcoin's supply is fixed. Only 21 million Bitcoin will ever exist, so even small changes in demand can cause big price moves. Third, it's decentralized. There's no central bank to smooth out the price, so news, regulations, or market fears trigger sharp swings. But zoom out and you'll see a clear pattern. After each four-year halving event, Bitcoin's price rises sharply, reaches a new peak, then drops significantly. The price stays low for a while, until the next cycle begins. This pattern has repeated with every halving cycle, and each peak has soared far beyond the last. In 2013, Bitcoin peaked at $1,100. In 2017, $20,000. That's 18 times higher. In 2021, $69,000, over three times the last peak. And in the current 2024 cycle, it's already doubled, crossing $124,000. Despite the ups and downs, Bitcoin's long-term trend has been significantly up. It's been one of the best-performing assets since 2009. And there you have it, an overview of Bitcoin, from its mysterious beginnings with Satoshi Nakamoto to its evolution into digital gold. We've looked at how the blockchain works as a shared ledger, how nodes and miners keep the system running, and how scarcity is built in through the 21 million limit and its four-year cycle. Bitcoin isn't just another form of money. It's a new way to store and protect value in the digital age. Scarce like gold, but open to anyone, anywhere in the world. And this is only the beginning. In future episodes of Beyond Bitcoin, we'll dive deeper into this space, exploring other blockchains like Ethereum and Solana, as well as the new rules now shaping the future of digital assets. So if you're curious, subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and share this with a friend who wants to learn too. Join us next time as we go beyond Bitcoin.